You're listening to Called the Homeschool, episode number 122, Discipline. Are you feeling the call to homeschool and you're not sure what to do? Or maybe you are already homeschooling and it doesn't look like what you hoped it would. My name is Megan Thomas and I'm a certified life coach, a mother of seven, and a homeschool pro with more than a decade of experience. I can show anyone how to create success in their homeschool, and I'd love to show you how. Are you ready? All right, welcome to this week's episode of Called the Homeschool. I'm really excited to talk to you guys about this. I was on, iTunes the other day, and I did not realize how many amazing messages that you guys had been leaving me. So I just thank you so much. I wanted to read one of them. There were so many sweet ones. So thank you for the reviews and the nice comment you're leaving. So this one says, yes, just yes. And it says, this podcast was heavily sought after. I tried a few others first and thankfully found this one not too long into my podcast search for a homeschool-based podcast. Ever since I was a kid, way before I was a mama, I have felt calling to home learn. And then it just so happens that my first year home learning was during a pandemic. This podcast has provided so much experience, insight, and I cannot mention the KISS, keep it simple, sisters, method. Yes, thank you for this podcast. You are so welcome. I am so grateful that this podcast has been so helpful to so many of you. It's so awesome to just see the growth of the podcast. And thank you for your shares and all those things. So thank you for that. We have wrapped up in Mama's Members all of our bonus classes of really diving in of how to create your homeschool year. And the workbook is done now and the planner is done now. And if you are in Mama's Members, you can download it for free. And if you are not, I don't know why not, but if you're not and you just want the workbook and the planner, it is now available to purchase on my site, coachmegthomas.com. It has been awesome. I did the workbook this year and it made such a difference in my own homeschool. And some of my seasoned homeschool friends also did the workbook in addition to all those Mama's Members, right? And just how much they've enjoyed it, how much it has helped them clarify their vision and the things that they really want in their homeschool, things they don't want in their homeschool, just really honing into their values and strengths and just really helping get a very simple, clear picture of what it is they're trying to create. So that is available now. So go and check that out. Today, I want to talk about discipline. That sounds exciting. You are with your kids day in and day out. So guess what? These are things that are going to pop up. So often we get so concerned about the curriculum and are we doing homeschool right? And can they read? And are they going to get into college? And that's like a lot of people's big concerns. And then as we get into it, it's like, well, my kids are fighting each other or my house is chaotic and all these things. And so I feel like being able to have a family that is functioning and thriving is a huge part of having a successful homeschool. So what I find so interesting about the word discipline is when you look up a modern definition for the word, it comes up with definitions such as the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior using punishment to correct disobedience. Another one is punish or rebuke someone formally for an offense. So it is no wonder that when we think of the word discipline, that it creates ideas that we need to punish. These are all synonyms for the word discipline. Punish, control, rule, or penalize our children when they misbehave. But what's interesting, if you go back when this word was first recorded in the early 1100s, Middle English from Anglo-French from Latin, it means instruction and pupil. So what that really breaks down to is it means to teach a child, right? To discipline is to teach somebody. Yet the word has now become so associated with words like punish, like you need to discipline your child. And a lot of people, if we think about that, we're like, oh yeah, you need to punish them. You need to rebuke them. You need to control them. You need to do something with them because they are crazy right now and you need to bring it back. But what if we started going back to what the original intent of this word was to teach? When our child misbehaves, does something we think they shouldn't do, right? We're like, oh, awesome. This is an opportunity to teach. You just don't understand, right? So if you think about this with homeschooling, we teach math, we teach reading, we teach all these things. Why are we not including how to behave appropriately? What is acceptable and what is not? How awesome would that be if that were a big part of our homeschooling? One of the many benefits of homeschooling is that you get to add this type of thing into your day, whether this is in family meeting, whether this is in little lessons that you're adding, but just really teaching like this is what we do. This is how we help things and this is how our family rolls. So one of the things that is so great about teaching is very first, we want to model the behavior. So often we want to say, do what I say, but not do what I do. So we want to teach from this place of experience and of being what we are asking our children to be and doing what we're asking our children to do. One of my favorite stories about this, and I have talked about it a lot in Mama's Members, and I'm not sure if I've ever talked about it on the podcast, but there is this story this lady shared of this mother who was very concerned about her child eating candy. And so she went to the village, and I don't even know if he's like a monk or the village something, just some great guy. And so she made quite the trek to go see this man and said, I need you to tell my son to quit eating candy so much because it's just not good for him. And he said, come back in 2 weeks. So she went, made the huge long trek home, waited for 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks came back and comes to this man and says, okay, we're here. And he goes, son, don't eat so much candy. The mother was like, are you serious? You could have said this 2 weeks ago. You just made me do this whole trek all over again. Why didn't you just tell me this 2 weeks ago? And he said, because 2 weeks ago, I was still eating candy. So if there is a behavior that we want in our children, the best way to teach it is first to model it. Are we in control of our emotions? So often we'd like a little kid freaks out. We're like, hey, we don't do this. But do we freak out if something goes wrong? If something doesn't go our way, when our kids freak out, are we freaking out? Like, hey, you shouldn't be so mad while we are so mad. What a better teacher than by example. Of like, oh, I understand when you're frustrated that you want to freak out because I've totally been there and this is what I do instead, right? So another way, a very first way we want to do is to model it. Then we want to teach it because when emotions are high, learning is low. So we want to teach us the time when emotions, did I say that right? When emotions are high, learning is low. So we want to flip that. When emotions are low, learning is high. Right? So taking a time to teach during family meeting, during school of like, hey, this is why I love family meeting too, is because you can reflect on last week and you can say, hey, we had a disagreement over I'm trying to think of something my kids have disagreed about. I can't think of something, but like somebody left somebody else's basketball out. I know that did happen. And like so-and-so got really mad at so-and-so because they left their basketball out. What could we do instead of getting mad at our siblings? Well, they shouldn't do this, blah, 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 blah. Like, yes. Okay. What could we do instead? And giving them an opportunity to start brainstorming and seeing ideas like, okay, so maybe he needs to check something out of like, give me something of value to use something of mine. That's what I do. When my kids want to use like something, a nice pair of headphones of mine, I say, awesome, just trade me something of value. So I know I'm going to get my headphones back. So like, you can totally do that. You could do a checkout system where they have to come and ask you and then they have to check it back in. You could, whatever it is, but take this opportunity to then start teaching them of like, what would be a better way to handle this situation? So modeling it, then teaching it, then the third step is praising the appropriate behavior. So if you have a four-year-old who you are working with not screaming so much, then praising him when he speaks calmly to somebody, like, oh, buddy, you're doing such a good job speaking calmly. Oh, sweetheart, thank you so much for speaking softly to our siblings. That's so awesome, right? Praise them every time they do the behavior we are trying to teach them, instead of giving them this attention for, like, hey, stop doing this. Don't do this negative behavior, right? I'm going to be negative about this negative behavior and give you attention for it. But instead, I'm going to now start giving you attention for this positive behavior. And that's what I'm going to do. I often tell clients and Mama's members to ignore the noise, right? So as we are working on disciplining them and teaching them, we want to praise them and give more attention to the things they're doing right. Because I guarantee you that if you really looked at your child's full day, I would guess 80% of the time they're being awesome and doing really helpful things. And then often we just go into autopilot, like, good, we don't have to worry about you. I don't have to say anything to you. I don't want to disrupt the system. But if you do something bad, I'm going to all of a sudden jump on top of that and get mad or frustrated with you or whatnot. And I'm going to give that attention. So what if we switched where we were paying attention and looked at the 80% where they are being awesome, ignore the 20% within reason, and started praising that? Right? What difference would that make in your family if that was what you started doing? So then you may ask, how do I discipline my children then if they are causing problems? Like I said, there we have that 20% of the time that maybe they are doing things that might be inappropriate. And so sometimes they are things that we can just ignore. So we always start with the question of, is this really a problem? Is this something I really need to intervene? So if it is siblings disagreeing, to me, that's ignore the noise. This is an opportunity for them to figure things out. A lot of the times, like of the 20%, another 80% can just be ignored. Even if it's somebody saying a word you don't think they should be saying. Something like they're not destroying anything, they're just frustrated or angry and they're stomping or they're mad. A lot of times we can just ignore them or ask them to leave the area and they're welcome to come right back when they've calmed down. And that's a great teaching opportunity when they are calm, of like, hey, when you're frustrated, what could you do next time, right? But a lot of times people are like, yeah, but like, how do I punish my kid? It's like, woo, okay, I get it, you want to. But what if we didn't focus on that? We focused on like, what are they doing right? And we're modeling the behavior and we're doing all these things. And it's so interesting how often our brains, especially if that's been our on autopilot for so long, of like, yeah, but what if like, this is a really a big problem. So if it is, I want you to trust, allow natural consequences to be their teacher. So if your kid leaves their shoe somewhere, a great way to discipline or teach them is to allow a natural consequence, such as now they don't have their shoes, or you aren't going to buy them another pair of shoes because they haven't shown that they are responsible with shoes. It doesn't mean you have to yell about them about leaving their shoes. Like, why do you always do this? You're such a pain in the butt. Like, why can't you just grab your stuff? Why is this so hard? Instead, just allowing natural consequences. Okay, now you don't have a pair of shoes, or I'm not going to buy new ones. You can walk to your friend's house or ride a bike or do something like that to get your shoes. So I have a great example of this is from one of my amazing friends, and they have 5 children. And one of their lovely daughters, she, like, this is to her credit, this was a good plan, but she started intentionally leaving her shoes home every time they went on a trip, because what would happen, they were out and it's a little bit harder to just say be barefoot around the house and whatnot when you were on vacation. And her parents would then inevitably buy her a new pair of shoes because you couldn't go into stores or you couldn't do things because she couldn't have shoes. So they were thinking about this and like, what are we going to do about this? And so they came to her beforehand and they said, hey, we noticed a pattern that every time we go on a trip, you're not bringing shoes. And they would even ask, like, do you have your shoes? And like, yes, I have my shoes. And but she didn't really have her shoes, right? And so they said, the next time that if this does happen, we're going to go to a thrift store and we are going to pick out your shoes that you will get to wear for the trip. So next time they went on a trip and it happened to be with us, so it was so fantastic because I got to witness this firsthand. We go on a trip and lo and behold, this lovely lady leaves her shoes home. So our parents, no big deal, no screaming, no yelling. They went to a thrift store and they found a pair, and I don't know a better word to describe it, but a pair of grandma loafers. And they were not very attractive and they were not very comfortable. And they said, here are your shoes. And the daughter would complain or get frustrated, and the parents didn't say anything, just like, I hope you remember your shoes next time. So we had gone up to Yellowstone, and she had to do all the hikes in these shoes. She had to do all of the adventuring stuff that we were doing in this lovely pair of loafers from a thrift store. So it was a beautiful teacher of like, oh, hey, if you're leaving your shoes, and obviously it's intentional, right? Because there is a space for mercy, and like we all forget things sometimes, right? But intentionally doing this, like, oh, here's a behavior that maybe needs some discipline, needs an opportunity to teach. And by doing this one time, their daughter never left her shoes home again on purpose. And it was completely resolved just by teaching her and allowing a natural consequence. So when your child does something, like let's say throws a tantrum or is rude to their siblings, you can ask yourself, first of all, is this a problem? Is this an opportunity that I just need to ignore the noise? Or is this an opportunity to teach? And I'm not going to teach in the moment, because when emotions are high, learning is super duper low, but I can teach later. I can teach on when we do family meeting. I can teach during school. And if need so, is there a natural consequence that comes with this? Just like if somebody's throwing a tantrum, maybe a natural consequence is they are removed from the area. If they're just screaming there with everybody, like, okay, I'm going to just remove you from the area. And when you're done, you can come right back. If they're being rude to their siblings, guess what? Naturally, their siblings are not going to want to play with them. And some of those things can work themselves out. So I want to challenge you, as you think of the word discipline, and especially as we are starting this new school year, as we go into it, instead of thinking like, how can I punish? Like, because punish to me is like, ooh, I feel so angry and frustrated, and I want to get back at you. And to me, to discipline is to say like, what you're doing, it's okay. Like, you're a kid and you're figuring these things out. And so when you can come at this of a place of love and understanding and compassion, and like, oh, you just don't know. You have big emotions and you don't know what to do with them. How can I teach? So I want to challenge you guys to use this phrase as you go into the school year or just dealing with stuff with your kids, of instead of how can I punish, how can I teach? Okay, friends, I hope you have a fantastic week, and I will talk to you next time. Are you ready to take the concepts learned on this podcast to the next level? Then I invite you to join Mama's Members, a place where I will help you succeed in your family and homeschool beyond what you thought was possible. You will have access to hours of content, a place to ask questions, and weekly coaching calls to help you be the amazing homeschool mom you are called to be. To sign up, go to www.coachmegthomas.com/join. I can't wait to see you there. Thank you.